What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the 15th and returning episode of the Barrier Sports Talk Show of Curry Vegas. I am your host, Cody Rodriguez. I've been off the show for about a week or so, maybe 2 weeks, due to a sickness that really sucked and it took me out of, like, I couldn't really talk, I couldn't really say anything. And, you know, the whole point of this podcast is to talk to you guys about stuff, and I can't really talk to you guys if I'm hacking like every 5 seconds, you know. But now I'm a little bit more better. It's Monday. Well, actually, when you're listening to this, it's Monday. Actually, it's actually Sunday. Happy Easter. but it's Monday. It's Monday. There's a better holiday out there on today than there was yesterday. There's a better holiday out there besides Easter. Tonight is opening night for Major League Baseball. All 32 teams are now playing for games that matter. Baseball is finally back, and I'll be the first one to admit I'm glad. I'm glad baseball's back. You know, I've been waiting for baseball for the longest time. I don't show it. I don't really show it on Twitter that much that I've been waiting for baseball for a long time. But I've been waiting for baseball to watch for a very, very long time. For a chance, we actually are going to talk about baseball on the show. We're going to talk about baseball daily, along with San Jose Sharks and the Golden State Warriors. And there's been so much that's been going on with the Sharks and the Warriors that I just can't get into a 30-minute show that I do. From where I've been gone, it's so hard to do. So I'll just keep it quick. Sharks have been doing well. And Warriors have been doing well, in my opinion, since I've left. And I'm starting to think they're doing well since I left because of me. And they're like, okay, Cody's not doing these shows anymore, so we're gonna start winning games now. And you know, it's perfect timing, whatever. So if the Sharks and the Warriors start losing now since I've been doing the show, I apologize. But the Sharks have been doing well. The fans who gave up on the team are starting to come back. I'll be honest, after all the times I've talked smack about the Sharks, I'm still unhappy with the team. Yeah, they're winning, and I'll show on people on Twitter that, hey, Sharks won, yay. But deep down, I'm still upset at the team. It's still not the Sharks that we all know. I mean, since when is it okay for a team to be in sixth place? That's usually... I mean, call me spoiled from being used to being a Western Division champion or President's Trophy holder, but call me spoiled or anything. But I'm not really happy with the fact of the team being in sixth place or having a goalie that's still lazy. Yeah, he can pull the shutout here and there, but he's still. Lazy. He's still a lazy goalie. I think this might be his last year as a San Jose Shark. I think the Sharks and will part ways of multiple people. I mean, it showed this week. Douglas Murray traded to Pittsburgh, I believe. I think it was Pittsburgh. I hope it's Pittsburgh. If it's not Pittsburgh, I just screwed up badly. But Murray has been traded, and Murray was really bad. I remember I told I was talking at a family dinner with one of my cousins about the Sharks, and this was the first week, and I told him, I was like, I think if anything, when Burns comes back, you're sending down or cutting Douglas Murray. He's nothing. And I remember him saying, no, you saw talking about Douglas Murray, and I said Matt Irwin is a better, and he has a better future for the Sharks than Douglas Murray does, and everyone disagreed with me. And now look, now Douglas Murray's not even on the team anymore because of how bad he's been. Every time he's on the ice, somehow the other team scores or there's a penalty. And I think you get more bang with your buck offensively with Matt Irwin than you would with Douglas Murray. Yeah, Douglas Murray could give you a hit here and there, but I mean, it's hockey. All you players should be doing that. And there's rumors that Klo Ryan Clough is on the brink of being traded to, which is good. I'll be honest. Clough has provided so much to the San Jose Sharks and his organization. I'm grateful for that. You hardly ever see a player like that, but he has just been terrible this year, and it gets you wondering: do you want to keep a fan favorite? Is it worth it, or do you want to get rid of him and have a chance to probably have some successfulness in the playoffs ongoing? And I personally think it is not worth keeping a fan favorite and keeping your fans happy than not going to the playoffs and your fans are unhappy still. So, I mean, Clough being traded would be also a good thing going on. But I think you'll be seeing Niemi being parted ways at the end of the season, along with other people, maybe some front office people. You never know. You never know. So let's just do a quick recap of the weekend and the week that's going on. I don't know if people really want me to cover 2 weeks worth of games. I mean, I don't even want to cover 2 weeks of the games. That's freaking horrendous. I've been gone for a while, but I mean, I'm not lazy now. Saturday, Sharks faced the Phoenix Coyotes, and no, the Sharks were back in the playoff talks, or back in the top eight, and winning this game would mean so much. You know, you can't deal with 1 point. You need that 2 points to keep on going, you know, being in the seventh seed. And they got those 2 points. They won in a 3-2 shootout. And yeah, I love the shootout. You gotta love the shootout. It's like, I come back and start doing my shows, and it's a shootout right off the bat. What do you know? So let's just go over what the Sharks did. Phoenix scored in the first period, but Joe Pavelski comes in with his 11th goal of the season, making it a 1-1 game. And also, too, with the tying game with 5 minutes left in the third period, Vlasic Pickles ties the game 2-2 and sends the game into overtime. And then going to the shootout, the only person scoring out of the three, which was Pavelski, Couture, and was it Boyle? Maybe it was Boyle. I think Boyle was the second one. But Couture was the first one to score off of Phoenix, and Phoenix could not score what's a bit on Niemi, making it a 3-2 victory for the San Jose Sharks, giving them the 2 points that they desperately needed. And as of Sunday, right now, as I'm doing a show, not Monday when you're listening to it, but Sunday, the Sharks are in 6th place, 1 point above Detroit in the 7th seed, and 4 points above St. Louis in the 8th seed. From the last time I did this show, that the point spread, the separation from team to team, is starting to spread out. As we start from the 4th seed of Vancouver being at 44 points, and then the 50 LA Kings are at 41. So it's starting to spread just a little bit. And from the 5th, 6th, and 7th seed, it's all separated by 1 point. I can understand that, but then once you get to the 8th seed and down 4th, it's all separated. It's not as tight and clusterful as it was before when I started doing these shows, when it was like 6th seed, not 6th seed, but like 4th seed to the 8th seed, it's all separated by 2 points. You know, it wasn't, you don't have that desperate need of, if you lose this game, you're not even in the top eight. But now you're at the point where you could lose the game, but you still have hope to make the playoffs because you're still in the top eight. And that's what I like. That's what I'm liking now is the separation, the calmness, and that's what the Sharks need. And especially coming into the next two games this week, both at home. I'll admit that both at home. But there are two very key games. Monday at home versus the Vancouver Canucks, 4th seed, which is a very good team. Vancouver is a very good team, I'll admit. But on the road, they've been struggling a little bit, and especially coming to HP, they might have a tough time. And the next game, on 2 days later, on Wednesday night, the San Jose Sharks will be facing against the Minnesota Wild, which is not the same Minnesota Wild that we always get to stomp on for the past 5 years. No, this is a different Minnesota Wild team that's looking to make the playoffs. With top scorers like Dan Heatley and all of them, it's a different Minnesota Wild team. And be prepared for them to strike hard And if the Sharks lose Wednesday against the Minnesota Wild, it's not a loss to be ashamed of, because we're going against a team that's striking hard right now, and it's so hard to defeat a team like the Minnesota Wild, along with the Vancouver Canucks. Don't get me wrong. The Vancouver Canucks is not going to be a walk in the park. None of these games are going to be a walk in the park, especially with it being the last month of the season. No walk in the park here. It's a do or die for the Sharks if they want to make the playoffs. You have to win every game. You have to at least get a point out of every game. If you're going to lose, tie it up and go to overtime, then lose there. At least you get a point out of it. Going forward, let's go with the Golden State Warriors, a team that's so close. I repeat, so close to making the playoffs. Magic number was at 6 going into Saturday's game against Portland. Excuse me. And, you know what? It went down to 5. It went down to 5. Saturday, they faced against Portland, and they have won. They spanked Portland. Maybe because they didn't have LaMarcus Aldridge. I don't know. But they spanked Portland 98-125. Curry dropped 39 points, dominated through the whole game, the team did, off the bench and on the court, too. Landry had 25 points and 10 rebounds coming off the bench. That was pretty good. And you know, with this win, it keeps the Warriors 1.5 games back from Houston, which is what they need coming from the 6th seed. I see, from the way I see it, the Warriors want to be in the 6th seed. Because if you're in the 7th seed, you're screwed. Because you're facing OKC in the first round, and they have home court advantage. And then if you're in the 8th seed, you have to face San Antonio. That's even worse. That's even worse, and you have to face them in San Antonio, too, most of the time. Now, if you're Golden State, if you're in the 6th seed and you keep that spot, you get to face against the LA Clippers. And it's in LA, but at least it's in California. You're not going all the way to San Antonio, all the way to OKC. No, you're just going a few miles down south to Staples Center to face the Clippers. And it's been shown that the Warriors have had great success recently against the LA Clippers, and maybe they have great success with the Clippers. I think the Warriors have a better chance at going into the second round in a 6th seed than in the 7th or 8th seed, because the 7th, 8th seed, it might be just a little bit more harder with teams like OKC and San Antonio. And as we're saying about that, let's go into the standings right now. So we'll start from the 6th seed, because the 5th seed on, they've all clinched, and it's so hard to catch up against with Memphis and Denver, all those teams. It's so hard to catch up to. So let's start from the 6th seed. 6th seed, Golden State Warriors, they are at 0 at 6th seed. 7th seed Houston Rockets are 1.5 games back from Golden State. Now here's the biggest shot. 8th seed and the 9th seed are tied 4 games back against the 6th seed. And the 8th seed is Utah, the 9th seed is the LA Lakers. Those teams are coming in too. That's why the magic number is at 5. The Warriors need to clinch a playoff spot sooner or later. But when they clinch that playoff spot, they can't take it easy. You still have to go on forward. You want to keep that 6th seed. I want to keep that 6th seed. I don't want to face Oklahoma City. Do you guys want to see Oklahoma City? No. Do you guys want to see San Antonio? No. I mean, man. All right. That was a little embarrassing. I'm back. Phone's on vibrate now. Make sure no one calls me this time. So, what were we talking about? I think we were talking about Warriors are in the 6th seed. Their magic number is at 5, and the Warriors need to clinch a playoff spot sooner or later, but they do not need to take it easy once they clinch that playoff spot, because they need to keep that 6th seed. You have a better chance of going on to the playoffs in the 6th seed than you do with the 7th seed and 8th seed, in my opinion. All right. Moving forward, making sure my phone is on vibrate. Make sure it's on vibrate once again. We're going to talk about a new segment. New segment we haven't talked about on a Barrier Sports Talk show since I started. We're going to talk about some baseball. We're going to go through the series that is coming up each week. And then On Mondays each week, we'll be going through the series that's coming up this week, and then on Fridays, we'll be going through the weekend series of what's going to be going on. We're going through pitching matches up, pitching matchup, lineups that might be happening, and then what to suspect. We'll start with the Oakland A's. Oakland A's on Monday, and just a note, both teams open the season on Monday, April 1st. It's weird that the Giants are not opening the baseball season off on Sunday, but I guess the Houston Astros, I mean, who doesn't want to watch the Houston Astros make the AOS debut? I don't! So let's go. Four game series versus Seattle, the Oakland A's have. Once again, for the third year in a row, Oakland A's are facing against the one and only King Felix on opening night. And, you know, that's a thing we've been trying to, since going back to 2007, 2006, I believe, the A's have been having opening night struggles, you know, against multiple teams, not just the Seattle Mariners, but multiple teams, the Red Sox, the Yankees, Seattle. And I'm hoping, I say this every year, but I think this is the year the A's break the opening day struggles and finally just move on. And especially with the pitching matchup. On Monday night, opening night, Brett Anderson for the Oakland Athletics will be pitching for the A's against Felix Hernandez of the Seattle Mariners. I locked this up, and I'll put this in my notebook. I lock up that the A's sweep. No, they get, I say the A's get three out of the one games. They don't sweep the Mariners, and I'll go into that reason why. Monday, we have Anderson versus Felix. I think the A's will win that game on opening night, get the fans all happy, get the fans excited for the Oakland Athletics baseball season that's coming up. Tuesday night, you have Jared Parker pitching right behind Anderson against Iwakuma. Didn't I tell you to say that name? I don't know how to say that name. But the A's, I predict, will win that game too. Then the third game on Wednesday night, you have Tommy Malone versus Sanders of the Seattle Mariners. And I put that the A's will win that game. That just leaves one more game. AJ Griffin versus Maurer. Is that Maurer? Is there someone really named Maurer? I don't care. I don't know. Someone out there is like, you're supposed to say it like this. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry. I'm not a Seattle Mariners fan. But I do think that the Mariners will, I almost said Manatees. The Mariners will beat the Oakland A's. Will beat the Oakland A's on Thursday day. Just for the simple fact that I think, you know, after going three games straight, you know, AJ Griffin isn't just. I just feel like his first game, AJ Griffin will have a slumpy start. He'll be good the rest of the season. Don't get me wrong, but I think the first game is a little bit of from AJ Griffin, you know, and hopefully. Not hopefully, because I don't want to get a total asshole fan. That's like, I hope the A's lose on Thursday. I just want to make sure my predictions are correct and I don't seem like a total jackass. But I think that the A's and AJ Griffin will have a struggle on Thursday evening against the Seattle Mariners. My opening night lineup is going to look a little bit like this. It's going to look a little bit of what you saw on Saturday, when the A's faced the San Francisco Giants, who won? I'm going to get a lot of crap for that. I have, leading off in center field is Coco Crisp. I have also in the second, right batting right behind him. This is going to be a little controversy. I'm putting John Jaso in the second spot instead of Jet Lowry that everyone puts him in. Why? Because I like to go freaking balls out. Freaking just put everything out there and just say, no, take a chance. John Jaso, second in the lineup. And right field, you can have no one but only your champ. Right field, Gold Glover, Josh Reddick. And then also right behind him in left field, you'll have Yoenis Cespedes, who has a beautiful swing. Every time I see him swing, especially during the spring training when the games are on TV, beautiful swing. It's even more beautiful against the San Francisco Giants when he homers off them. At first base, I swear to God, I'm so sorry, San Francisco Giants fans. I'm going to get, like, hate emails and tweets saying, how could you say that about the Giants? Well, it's baseball now. Batting in the fifth spot, right behind Yoenis, would be protecting him is Brandon Moss. Good choice. And then what I have, did I say fifth? Yeah, I'm going to start my numbers now. Seventh, eighth, ninth. All right, so batting in the sixth, this is where I put Jed Lowry. Starting shortstop. As I put Jared Lowry right up behind Moss, I think it's a perfect situation to put. If you go 1-2-3, 1-2-3, at least you end the second inning with Jared Lowry. Seventh batting position will be Josh Johnson in third base. DH will be Seth Smith in eighth and second base. Batting ninth. This is a total surprise. I didn't even think he would make the roster on opening night. Erik Sogard, second base, your opening day starter. He's had a terrific spring. And if I compare it to what I had on when I did my whole A's Giants special, my lineup is totally different. I did not have John Jaso as the starting catcher. I did not have Jed Lowry as the starting shortstop to top it all off. I had Nakajima, and he goes on the DL. And I didn't even have Seth Smith as a DH or Sogard at second base. Maybe I was, again, going balls out to DH spot. I said Chris Young. I even put Chris Young in center field. So actually, you know what? Center field is a little bit wrong too. I said Chris Young would be in center field. Balls out decision. Come at me. this is what this show is called. That's gonna be my quote. Barry Sports Talk, Cody Rodriguez, going balls out on every acquisition. All right, just wait till we get to the Giants one. I went balls out on that one, too. I think, you know, A's go 3-1, start off the season. Shaky Thursday. I'm hoping they go 4-0, honestly. You know, maybe start another streak. Good streaking! Let's go to the San Francisco Giants to end the show off on a positive. Is it really positive if you end the show on the San Francisco Giants? Is it really positive? Gotta ask myself that. Big game series starting April the 1st, Monday, against the one and only LA Dodgers. Everyone loves the LA Dodgers, right? In the Bay Area? Am I just talking to myself? Alright. Opening night, you have Matt Cain going against Clayton Kershaw. I didn't see that coming whatsoever. I thought Clayton Kershaw would be pitching the fifth spot. Gee willikers. So I think Giants will have a good chance of winning that game, game one. Game two, on the other hand, might go to the Dodgers. Just because can I just say the fat Asian kid from Up is pitching for the Dodgers? The fat Asian kid is pitching from Up is going to be pitching for the Dodgers in the game two. And I think that he'll come out strong and just prove out to be better than Bumgarner. I had Bumgarner in a second spot, but I didn't think he was really capable of being a second spot starter. And then you have Tim Lincecum, of course. I mean, I had Tim Lincecum in the fifth spot, so I mean, bite my head off on that one. I have Tim Lincecum versus Josh Beckett, and I predict that Tim Lincecum and the San Francisco Giants will prevail and win Wednesday evening against the LA Dodgers. I mean, it's Josh Beckett. I mean, you're not going to suspect a shutout, a perfect game from Josh Beckett, right? I mean, come on. If the Giants are who they are, they should have no problem beating up Beckett. And you know, and if you're going behind against Kane on Monday night, you have no problem in that game because Kane is stellar. Let's start off with the projected opening night lineup. You have center field Angel Pagan, who I corrected perfectly. You have second base being Marco Scudero at the second spot. Predicted that correctly. Third base being Pablo Sandoval. Coming back healthy, elbow's fine. He's active on opening day roster, so you'll be seeing him on third base at the third slot. And cleaning up is the one and only freaking Buster Posey. Right field, Hunter Pence. I corrected that. Brandon Belt at first base. Did that right. He was over balls out again. I didn't even put him in the starting lineup. I didn't think he would make the team. You have Andres Torres in left field. Now, who did I put in left field on my show? I put Gary Brown, right? I still think Jacob Brown should be in left field, but I guess Andre Torres is just the Andre Torres that we all love and remember from 2010, right? Right? I mean, it's Andre Torres. So you have Andre Torres in left field. Got that wrong. But then you have Crawford in shortstop, batting 8th and 9th would be the pitcher spot, obviously. So it would be either Kane, Bumgarner, or Tim Lincecum. So just going off of that, I think the Giants will go 2-1 to open the season off. So you have a good start for the Bay Area. 3-1 A's, 2-1 Giants. I mean, hopefully that's the correct position. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry, guys. Do not put my freaking predictions on Vegas, because the past is shown. I suck ass when it comes to predictions. But we're going to end the show off that. Guys, it's opening night. It's opening day. Watch some baseball. No, it's going to be some good baseball Monday today. Especially with all of opening night, all the starters coming out, all the aces, Cole Hamels, Justin Verlander. Everyone's going to come out and just wow everyone. And I think it's a good time to sit back, relax, not watch any hockey, not watch any basketball, just watch up straight up baseball. With that being said, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for actually listening to my comeback show. I'll promise from now on, I will be on every Monday and every Friday, unless I'm hacking every 5 minutes like I was before. With that being said, keep the word out and do what you do. Keep listening. Besides that, thank you guys so much. My name is Kurt Rodriguez, and I hope you guys have a good week.